As a quarterback, I love sports. But sometimes when I get hit on my blind side, front side, and put on my backside, I wonder, is Sport Clips better than sports? Because Sport Clips haircuts is sports on TV, plus a relaxing haircut, hot steam towel, and massaging shampoo, which is better than sports plus Sport Clips. It's a game changer. Check in online at sportclips.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Patterson. I'm back again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. As always, let's tap into my website, www.markpattersonnfl.com. And there you can find so many more episodes of inspirational people like the rock star I have on today doing great things. We all need to be inspired. I do for sure. So you can check that out while you're there. If you please give the show a ratings and review on Apple, that always helps elevate the popularity. We're trying to expose this show to more people who, again, need inspiration out there. Also, there's the tab to the film, the epic movie the NFL did on my Everest journey. You can check that out. It's now on NFL 360. It used to be on YouTube, so no surprises there. But it's very well done, thought out, in 30 minutes, in my opinion, of excellence, and probably not what you think for an Everest film. And finally, I continue to raise money for my daughter, Amelia's Everest, goes to higher ground. You can see the hat today. But if you want to go on that tab and contribute, 100% of all the money goes to higher ground. It's a great organization, all dealing around empowerment, and don't we all need that on that end? And also, we have started a new YouTube channel, and I'm trying to get 1,000 subscribers. So the money that may trickle in my way from all these hundreds of videos I've done on Everest and all these other movies will generate some funds that, again, I can turn around and donate all those funds to higher ground. So go on to YouTube, check it out, Finding Your Summit with Mark Patterson, and I would appreciate the love. Okay, let's jump into today's guest. His name is Max Martini. I love that name. Max, how you doing?
I'm really well. Thanks, Mark.
Now, I really appreciate you coming on. You know, we were introduced by Aaron through Higher Ground, and you have a tie there. We'll get into that a little bit. But this summer, I'm going to Italy, actually this spring. And so I know that you were born in Rome, Max Martini.
So my father was born in Rome. I was born in New York.
Okay.
But I have a huge family in Rome, and it's my favorite city in the world. I mean, outside of New York, I'm partial to New York also, but you're going to have a wonderful time.
No, I love it. And, you know, so for everybody that's listening today, so Max is one of those guys. I think you're in a really great spot because I couldn't believe the amount of films and television shows, many of my favorites, that you've done. You've always had that acting bug, and you're kind of one of the few, maybe a little bit like the professional football players, the 1% of the 1% that somehow or another are able to kind of crack through and make it for a little bit. And you've been able to turn this into a 20-year plus career. And you're also one of those guys, I know you've worked with Tom Hanks, but you're also one of those guys that I don't think, you know, maybe some people recognize you or not, but you're not like that kind of face where you get hassled. Bill Murray once said, it's great to be rich, but it sucks to be famous. And I always thought that was a really interesting thing for him to say. So how did you get the acting bug? I mean, of all these different things, we all have choices in life, and you decided to go down that road.
Oh, wow. Well, so I got to go pretty far back. So my mother married my father, who was, like you said, from Italy. He was a sculptor. They divorced when I was very young, and she got back together with a former boyfriend that was in the entertainment industry, Stuart Margolin. He played Angel on the Rockford Files. That was what he was most noted for. I think he won 2 Emmys for that. And anyway, great, great actor, wonderful stepfather, great writer, great director. And so growing up, he would throw me in projects that he was directing and, you know, say, hey, go run over there and, you know, say this or whatever, little lines here and there. And it wasn't that I got the bug, but what ended up happening with me is that I went to university for fine arts. So I got my degree in fine arts. And when I got out of university, I had this massive debt to deal with. And coincidentally, I was asked to audition for a movie. And my brother and I put it on tape, and I sent in this audition tape, and I landed this role. So I flew out to Los Angeles. I paid off a chunk. I did the movie, paid off a chunk of my university. And, you know, and the casting director said, look, you know, you would be stupid to not pursue this, because this is a very high profile film. And, you know, people kill for these opportunities. So I stayed, and it was interesting. I mean, it really, I just got very lucky, because I don't know what to attribute my success to, but I started working with some really high profile industry peeps, and it just caught fire, you know. And it's not that it wasn't an easy career, mind you, you know, like, this is not an easy road for anyone. You know, I have one of my two boys is now tackling film school and is interested in pursuing a profession in Hollywood. So it's a tough one, but I've been, you're right, I've been very lucky, had my struggles, but I've been very lucky to have worked with some really amazing people.
Well, you know, look, I can remember when I was back playing for the New Orleans Saints and we're on a roll. They'd never won in 20 years. And it was the first year that I got there in 1987, that we had a winning record. And the head coach at the time, Jim Morris Sr., got up and said, you know, everybody's calling us lucky. And he goes, I'll tell you what, you know, losers aren't called lucky. It's only because you put yourself in that position to then be called lucky. But there's a lot of talent, there's a lot of hard work, and there's a lot of drive that's in there. And that's what you've done. You mentioned about some of the famous people that you've been able to cozy up to and be in some of these different brilliant films. One of them is Saving Private Ryan with Tom Hanks and Matt Damon. I mean, look, so I'm researching you last night, and I'm thinking about this, and I was able to play with some greats. I mean, you know, Heisman, when I got to the Raiders, we had two Heisman Trophy winning guys in the backfield, Marcus Allen and Jim Plunkett. Yeah. You know, I got to play, you know, on the same field with John Montana, the same field with John Elway. You know, I mean, these are just phenomenal, you know, Hall of Fame players. And to me, that's kind of the equivalent when you start stacking up talent. And I'm not suggesting that you were in where I was, but I got to, you know, like be, I was teammates with these guys. They were friends. We went out, you know, we had beers together. Yeah. And so when you're like locking up with that, you know, with greatness, which those guys, their career, certainly their arc has been tremendous. I mean, what was that like for you to be in that position, to be working alongside? Like, what's that feeling like? I mean, did you elevate your game, or does it make you more focused, or how do you approach that?
You know, it's this business is kind of, acting is very much like golf, in that, you know, it's, I think in most sports, you know, look, if you possibly as a quarterback, you know, you want to throw the football, but you got to have a stinger, right, to play in the NFL. Like, you know, there's force plays in big with a lot of sports. And I think in golf, you know, you're always told to relax, you know, don't try to kill the ball. Don't try to, you know, the more you relax, the more you relax your swing is, you know, the more control you have over directionally where the ball's going, and you know, you get more distance out of it. So I think it's the same with acting. It's like that. I never tried to hit a home run, you know, and I think that is why I did so well, because I think at a certain, when you're dealing with guys like Spielberg, you know, most actors get the opportunity to audition for him, and they want to deliver something that's just Oscar worthy, you know? And I never tried to do that. And I think that that's what helped me, gave me an in with these guys, because I kept my auditions very real, you know, and didn't step outside of that kind of realm of reality too much. But and Mark, I also was never really dazzled by their celebrity. You know what I mean? It was more like I started out. One right now, I just did this movie with George Clooney that's in the theaters right now. It's called The Tender Bar. I
watched it.
Yeah, I think it's some of my best work, and it's not a celebrity.
Yeah. Man, let me just tell you this. I mean, this is what I'm telling everybody else. I had the very good fortune of having dinner with you recently here in Sun Valley, Idaho.
Yeah.
And we had a great night. It was just, you're a good dude. And, we connected on many different levels. And then I watched that movie. And I mean, it's an intense role that you're playing.
Yeah.
I didn't just have dinner with this dude. I mean, you were a fucking asshole, right? I mean, you play a salty character in that thing. And it's just like, that's your talent. Like I could never do that. I'd just be me. I mean, you saw me in my little film. That's just me being me. Right. But to sit down and have a dinner with this dude that's very likable and then for see this other person on the screen that ain't so likable, right? That's a talent. That was pretty cool.
I think that, one thing that holds a lot of actors back is their, being in awe of these people. Like George Clooney is the nicest guy in the world. He's one of us. He's really just a regular guy. When I met him, we started playing hoops. I walked at a gym. He had a basketball. This is how I met him. He threw me the ball and we started playing. We started, sinking baskets. What happened to me very early on, I guess if there was an obstacle for me in this business, it was something that I created for, within myself. It was like this kind of fear that maybe, maybe it's like a fear of not belonging. You know what I mean? Because I didn't really attack this business and I was doing well. And occasionally I would have this kind of notion that maybe I didn't belong in it, but I had to conquer that. But I think a lot of actors are put at a disadvantage. They put themselves at a disadvantage because they are dazzled by the size of these sets and the celebrities that they're working with and George Clooney being Batman and Ben Affleck being another Batman and they get into this kind of world and they can't do the work, or they get nervous. Nerves are a big one. Yeah. So I had to conquer, a little bit of that. My battle was a little bit different, But yeah, man, I mean, look, I'm relaxed enough to be able to kind of deliver for these guys. And I love the artistry. I really love now. I've grown to love how creative you have to be and how difficult it is to keep your game simple. Like I was attributing to golf, I just have this knack for not trying to hit home runs every time I get up to play.
Just being yourself, right?
And gets you in the game, So yeah.
Yeah, no, I love this, and pardon the pun, but less is more, like not going max out. It's your first name, but it's just like that's what I'm hearing you saying, and I love that from the standpoint of you got to think big, you got to act big, and you got to do the work to put you in that position to get the confidence that you're going to have once you step up. When I was a freshman for the University of Washington, I didn't have any of those tools in the toolbox. I was undersized and weak and everything else. I just didn't have the body. And with the body, then comes the mindset of what I could actually do. And by the time, 5 years later, I'm sitting in the huddle with Marcus Allen and Jim Plunkett and Cliff Branch and all these other all-stars, Todd Christensen, it's just like I had the confidence. Like you were talking about, I felt I belonged there. I mean, I was like, hey, this is cool, but I felt like I belonged in that huddle. And so they just, and then those guys can feel that same vibe too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right. Because you come in, you're confident, you're just doing your deal, but you're doing.
Well, you know what's interesting? I think that word, I think confidence is the key word in really across the board in life. But you know, that's something that I always had. And I think that I achieved that in many ways by, you know, doing these kind of crazy things that sort of made me fearless. I jumped out of planes forever during college, which was like something that was horrifying to me, mm-hmm. you know, but I conquered it. And, you know, and I boxed for a long time, which, you know, scared the bejesus out of me. But I got in the ring with these guys and held my own and did really well. And that made me fearless. And, you know, and I ride motorcycles, and that was something that scares me, and that, you know, it scared me. And now, you know, I've conquered that. So I think I think it's kind of why I play these guys that I play. I'm often playing, really confident, heroic characters, not in the Tinder bar, but, you know, a lot. I've been fortunate enough to have been in some really great war films like Saving Private Ryan and 13 Hours and Captain Phillips and, you know, playing these Navy SEALs and playing these Spec Ops guys. And I think that all these kind of crazy extreme activities that I've done has given me this kind of like fearlessness that translates on camera. You know, maybe. And because I often go I didn't get sort of pegged into one character because I do play a lot of different characters, but I've often asked myself, like, why are these guys choosing me consistently, you know, to play these, like, you know, these war heroes or these, you know, because
I'll tell you the answer.
I'm really a buffoon, you know.
No, you're not. You're a good dude. And I think in those different characters and what you're referring to in these different films is kind of being the Navy SEAL type, you know, I'm generalizing now, but that guy that goes over and, you know, takes on the enemy, and you have a very believable way about the way you communicate. And I think that's what beams out through the screen on these different things. I want to ask you about a couple of them. One of my favorite films, it was 13 Hours of Benghazi. Crazy story, true story. And when you're shooting a film like that, I mean, it looks so authentic. Like, where did you actually film that movie? Because it wasn't obviously on location. I mean, where do you do something like that where there's guns going off and battles and it looks so authentic in this town that you're driving through and all that stuff?
I mean, we shot that in Malta. Largely, and Morocco.
Mm. So that's one of the. I guess this is one of the perks of business when you get to work with not only in great films but with great actors. But sometimes you could have pretty exotic locations.
It's one of the things that I love the most is you get to travel the world paid, and if you're trying to be some sort of an artist, then, you know, you working with these guys like Michael Bay directed that. I think it's just one of his best films. And I was just mesmerized watching him work. I mean, you know, he really, it's the way he composes every frame. If you look at that film, there's so many layers of things happening with, you know, and what I'm talking about are elements that sort of paint the picture, the fire, the smoke, the explosions, the characters, from the foreground all the way back. It's so rich and well thought out, well designed. And so it was really interesting to watch him work. Especially from a director's perspective, because I'm trying to get into directing now, or I am getting into directing. And so it was really inspiring to see how he makes movies. And one of the cool things about that is that, you know, he had the guys that were actually in the conflict there that we were playing. And, uh, And so we got to collaborate with them a lot, you know, and there's another thing that I will say about me in relation to these war films is that, you know, look, I mean, I really care about not making a mockery of, you know, someone's service to the country and not Hollywoodizing it, you know, and trying to keep it as real as possible. So I take the tactics very serious, and I take, you know, my performance and my portrayal, especially of somebody, you know, I played Bart Geist, who was still with us and living and, you know, and was with me on set. So I take that very seriously. And, you know, and we, I know we're going to talk about Higher Ground, but it's also sort of like led me into this sort of charity work that I do. So, but yeah, that experience was amazing, man. And we got to explore Malta for 4 months, and you know, our downtime was a lot of fun. We sailed in, you know, through the islands and got to see a different part of the world that I never would have gone to.
Well, count me in as your next wingman. I've got one credit under my belt. So another movie that it was interesting. I was reading this last night. You know, you were in as Captain Phillips and interested in the location. One of the guys I've known for quite some time, Ray Cashcare.
Yeah.
So he's legit Navy SEAL that he was asked to be in that movie. And he's kind of in the movie at the very end when they go for the rescue.
Yeah.
And they're coming in, and it was cool to see him in that film. And I didn't realize, I'm saying this because I didn't realize you guys were in the same film, but where did you shoot that? Because I believe it was the whole idea around that movie was about this ship, this tanker that was taken hostage off the coast of Somalia.
Yeah.
And we used to have all these pirates, you know, go out there and do this. And then you guys come to the rescue. Where was that movie shot?
So my portion of that film was shot in Virginia Beach,
which is where Cash lives.
Right. And by the way, we're buddies. I know him very well. So we shot off the coast of Virginia where the naval base is. And I think that they also filmed, God, I want to say Malta too, maybe. Mm. I think initially, when you see the Somali pirates, I think they're in Malta, but I did not go to Malta on that movie. I was in Virginia Beach.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Let me ask you this question. As I was looking back on, you know, your movie stuff starts sometime in 1985 or after, but it seemed like there was a big gap and then you start to dip into television. And what is that, just to get more work or just because television had changed a bit? One of my favorite shows of all time, 24, you're on. I mean, you've got a whole list of credits. You know, you're doing 2 or 3 episodes or that type of thing. But, like, did you see the world differently a long time ago? Or was just with the opportunities that were in front of you that you're taking? Or how did that work out where you then bled in?
I mean, it's really odd. And, you know, this was... I think that, so, you know, like I said, from 1985, there was a point where I was just dabbling and my stepdad was putting me in stuff. And, you know, occasionally somebody would say, hey, come do this or whatever. But so I didn't do anything super significant before Private Ryan. Private Ryan, I think, you know, look, I think my team slightly dropped the ball because I think that I had an opportunity to avoid TV if had my reps done the right thing and used that job in the right way. So I sort of ended up in TV because it was the next best thing and they were, you know, coming after me in TV. But here's the thing, but here's what I will tell you, you know, is that things happen for a reason. And, you know, if I look back on my career, that whole period while I'm in television was a great training ground for me. Because in television, for instance, I did this show called The Unit, right? It was on CBS. It was based on a book called Inside Delta Force by Eric Haney. And it was about Delta, the Army's counterterrorism unit. And And once you're on a series, you know, so we did, you know, four seasons of that. I mean, I had the opportunity to really explore what my boundaries were, what I was capable of as an actor. You know, you're able to kind of fall on your face a little bit and not have to worry about losing your job, you know, so it was a great training ground. And then that sort of led me back into movies pretty quickly. So, you know, I like doing TV is much better than it was back then, you know, but for like, you know, 24, I tested for Jack Bauer, I think 3 times. And it got to the point where my agent was, you know, said, look, you know, they love you for this. I mean, for you to lose this job, this is exactly what he said to me. You would have to walk into this last meeting and spit in this guy's eye.
Apparently you did that. Right?
That's exactly what I did. Yeah. So I did not end up playing Jack Bauer, but they did bring me back for like 3 episodes but in hindsight, you know, I don't think I was ready to play Jack Bauer. I really don't. I think now I am, but I think that back in at the time I wasn't. So, you know, I think my career sort of played out the way it was supposed to. And I was able to kind of use television as a stepping stone, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, I really believe this, that life plays out the way it's supposed to play out. Right. And you create your own opportunities and all these things. And I look at my career today, whatever it is, like my life, whatever you want to call it, the whole wheel. And there's just things that maybe I thought or I was trying to push intentionally. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I wasn't ready because I had to go through certain things to get to this point. I mean, the podcast would be one of them, you know,
right,
exactly. My ability to communicate and listen and all, you know, it's just like, there's just certain things you have to go through, even though it's frustrating because you're trying to like accelerate that to get to where you want to go, but the universe isn't quite ready to allow that to happen. And then when you get to this, like this place that you're in today, where now you're starting to venture into directing your own films and you've got something coming up in Vegas where, you know, you had to have this platform of 20 years and working with these Spielbergs and Michael Bays and things like that to really understand like what you're capable of because of this great mentorship these other people gave you along the way.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I you know, when I look back, because I, you know, when prior to Private Ryan, I was, you know, I was in my 20s. I really did not have any sense of politics. I wasn't really interested in politics. I didn't have any, you know, concern for our military or our veterans or this or that. And, you know, and it really, like, that movie shaped my life in such a, it just impacted my life so profoundly and shaped me, you know, into who I am today. And had I not done that film, you know, I'd say I'd be a completely different person. So, you know, just in terms of the way things play out, you're right. It's like, you know, I'm sure that had your life been different, you know, you may not have, you know, climbed these mountains and, you know, accomplished these amazing things and have this podcast. And, you know, so I never have any regrets, you know. I always kind of, there's been moments where I'm like, oh God, I wonder what it would have been like had I gotten 24, you know. But I never have regrets because my life always takes a direction where I inevitably look back and go, thank God I didn't get 24. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. And I think that's where when the disappointment comes in, somehow or another, you have to like knock yourself into the head and say, you know what? Just what you just said, you know, I wasn't ready for it or I needed to go through that. And so not always look at adversity as necessarily a negative element of things that are going on just because it didn't go your way at that time.
That's right. So
I want to tie in Higher Ground. So you and I have been tied in separately. That's how we got connected. I've been tied in because my daughter, as you know, has epilepsy. And so I started these different campaigns, Amelia's Everest. We talked about that in the very beginning of the show. And I've been raising a bunch of money. It's really cool. The NFL has thrown in money to the campaign. The Raiders have thrown in money to that campaign. But all in all, No, it's been this wonderful journey. The movie was able to generate a bunch of funds through people actually seeing it so we could donate. But I've found like so many organizations, and they're all good. There's no negative in this, but many organizations will be like Red Cross or, you know, sending money for to help cure cancer. They're all very worthy. But the thing that I loved about Higher Ground is that they do have a presence in Sun Valley, LA, New York.
Yeah.
And with that, it's so much about bringing people to our front step so that we can take them out into the, you know, ski slopes,
yeah,
and do things that they haven't done before, fly fishing, river rafting, all these other things that they're somewhere down on their luck. Many of these people are, like you said before, from the military,
yeah,
that they focus on. But I've seen this firsthand. I've seen this with my daughter. I've seen this with these different people that I've been in the boat with that I've actually gone down, and what has done for their spirit.
Oh my God.
Feeling like they're alive and they're accepted and they're not some kind of just because they've had a leg blown off or something. That's what it's been for me. How did you get involved in Higher Ground, and what has that meant to you?
Well, so while I was on that show, The Unit, I organized the first trip me and a few of the castmates made to the Middle East. So I went to Iraq and Afghanistan, and, you know, I met this guy. I'll make this very brief, but I met this veteran there, and sorry, he was not a veteran at the time, he was enlisted, but this kid that came back from combat with significant traumatic brain injury. He had survived three IEDs, one of which took his entire team, and to this day is still struggling. But we became buddies, and you know, it kind of inspired me to do something for veterans, because since Private Ryan, I had like suddenly had big, you know, it started developing this love and appreciation for our military, strong love and appreciation for our military. And I had yet to get involved charitably. So I was kind of inspired to do that. We had a huge military fan base, and I thought, God, this is a really great opportunity to, you know, maybe I can like drive traffic to an organization that I support somehow. So I wanted to find three charities. And what I did is I found three organizations that have completely different approaches to helping veterans, you know. Higher Ground, I loved because of the recreational therapy and that's because look, when you, I know many amputees and many, you know, kind of injured, emotionally injured or physically injured veterans that, you know, find themselves at a place where they just feel completely helpless. And if you're having trouble navigating through the VA system, you know, to get to your benefits, if you're having trouble even motivating yourself to reach out for your benefits or help in some capacity, you know, there's organizations like Higher Ground that are just doing amazing things. So that sense of empowerment that kind of therapy gives an injured service person, I think is magical, man. And so I was introduced to them through a mutual friend, and you know, and now, you know, in as much as I'm able to help support the foundation, I do, and you know, and I'm always talking about it and mentioning it on you know, podcasts or in interviews, and just so people are aware that there is this, you know, these people that are doing just incredible work and saving lives, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know,
no, 100%. And you know, like for anybody that's listening to this right now, a lot of times you're like, oh, like how could I ever get involved? And the biggest thing is just rolling up your sleeve and saying, you know, call me, reach out to me on my website, whatever, I can help, you know, navigate that. But you know, they need volunteers, and they love people getting more involved and helping to raise awareness and everything else. So everybody can have a piece. I think it's kind of part of our public duty, you know, in life, to have service back and helping others, especially when you've reached some level of success, not necessarily by riches, but just by where you've actually gotten in life, you know, in your case with acting and mine and different things that I do. But I mean, gosh, I mean, there's so many people out there that need a helping hand that just need the mentorship, you know? So if you can be of service to that, it's awesome. So thanks for being involved. Final question here. So you're let's look forward into like this next year. And so you're living out in LA right now and you've got some director stuff coming up. That must really have you jacked because you're kind of more in control of the script, who the actors are, location, you know, trying to create the budget. Does that scare the hell out of you? Or are you like, now that you've had this really successful run over these years in this body of work, you feel like you've got all the tools in the tool chest to go out and make that happen?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is that, so this is my third film to direct, and the first two were, you know, very successful on many different levels for me, and not monetarily so much, but for me, and they were both sold. And so that gave me a little bit of confidence, but what I feel like I'm doing now as a director is I'm using this art degree that, you know, was sat, you know, sort of stagnant for decades. And I'm able to kind of create this, you know, sort of broader vision of work. And so it's really exciting for me to kind of be involved in so many different departments and work with actors from a different position. And I speak that language. So we have this kind of, you know, this, it makes it very easy to kind of direct actors. So I'm excited. It doesn't scare me. It's just invigorating because I'm reinventing my position in this, you know, in the film business and people are offering me movies to direct now. So I feel like I'm doing something right. You know, I'm either fooling them or I'm actually, But yeah, no, it's really exciting. And I think I'm going to probably end up focusing a lot more on the directing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's a challenge to always be waiting to be picked versus you being the picker.
Yeah. It's nice to be the picker.
Yeah, no, it's all good. So where can people find you beyond your wonderful movies that you have out there?
So the only social media that I have is Instagram, and my Instagram handle is Max Martini LA. And so I do post a lot of stuff regarding the films that I'm doing or my charity work or, you know, whatever on my Instagram. That's the extent of my social media.
No, love it. Okay, well, listen, buddy, you're always welcome here in Sun Valley. You have a place in the Martini Suite downstairs in my palatial estate here next to the mountain. Yeah, so please let me know next time you're coming to town and we'll tip one down at the pile. And I appreciate you so much for coming on the pod and sharing your story with everybody.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. There he is, the one, the only Max Martini.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, NFL.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.